Aren't gifts great? I mean, there's nothing quite as just emotionally satisfying as receiving a gift and opening it up and being surprised at what's inside and thinking about the people who gave it to you and how neat it is to have whatever it is. Why, I had that experience just this week when someone gave me a pair of socks. So, you know, I'm a pilot, and they're like, there's socks with airplanes on them. What more could a pilot ask than socks with airplanes on them? It was great when I opened up. And you know what was great is to realize that they thought about me. They thought about who I am and what my interests are, and they got something fun, and they put a smile on my face, and that somehow reflected a relationship we have. I remember when I was back in high school, we had to read a series of short stories as part of our English class. And one of the stories we read is one that probably we have all read at this time of year. It's the short story by O. Henry, simply called The Gift of the Magi. I'm assuming all of you, for the most part, know this story. I'm not going to recount it in detail. I just want to remind us of a couple of the high points. In the story, there is a poor couple living in New York, Jim and Della. And as they come to the Christmas season, they realize they are quite literally broke. Even in 1905, $1.87 didn't go very far. And that's what O. Henry cited as the money they had as a couple at that time. And it was Christmas. And this couple deeply loved each other and deeply wanted to do something for the other. So Della, who was known for her long hair, sold it to a local wig maker for the money to buy a gold watch chain and fob for Jim's prized inherited pocket watch. She thought, what better can I do than give him something to support this treasure that he has? Jim was shocked when he came home. And he saw Della there with her hair now cut short. She wasn't even sure that he would like it because she knew that he liked her long hair and she was afraid that he would find her unattractive. But most of you know the story. The reason he was so surprised when he came home and he saw her suddenly cropped hair was that he brought her his gift. A gift of silver combs and brushes to take care of that beautiful hair that until that day she had always treasured. And of course, how did he buy the silver combs and brushes? He sold the watch. So there they sat, with combs and no hair. I understand that one. And a chain and a fob with no watch. And you say, what worthless gifts. And of course we know it's not about the gift. It's about the giving. I want us just to hear that one more time. It's not about the gift. It's about the giving. There's a story that's one that's kind of challenging that you come across twice in the Old Testament. We come across it first as we go through the readings in the account of Samuel. And there in 2 Samuel, in chapter 24, we find that God is displeased with David because David has numbered all of the people. He has done a census. You say, why does that matter? Well, partly David did it for two reasons. He wanted to see how big and powerful his kingdom was. How many soldiers did he have at his disposal? What could he do now as this great and powerful king? And partly he wanted to know how much tax he could receive from these people. He wanted to know how much wealth he could bring into his kingdom. You heard Justin a few minutes ago commenting on trusting God. David was acting in the ultimate way to say, I'm in charge and I don't need God. I don't have to trust God anymore to fight our battles. Let's see how big our army is. I don't have to trust God anymore to provide our needs. Let's see how rich our coffers are. And so God judged David and judged the people. And a plague came through Israel to show that no matter how well prepared we might be in our own strength, God could teach us a lesson. And so he came to David, and he explained to David what was going to happen next. That David was going to go and humbly was going to come before his God, and there was going to be a time of sacrifice on behalf of his people so that the plague would be stayed. And God told David where to go. To a threshing floor of a man named Araunah. Or if you go to the book of Chronicles, you'll see it's also called Ornan. It's a variation on the same name. Two linguistic differences. Don't let the confusion bother you. And David came to this man and he said, I need your threshing floor to build an altar, to sacrifice to our God so that the plague will be turned away. And Araunah, or Ornan, said to David, absolutely, I will give you my threshing floor. In fact, I will give you the wood that you need for the sacrifice, and I will give you the oxen so that you can perform the sacrifice, and you can come before our God, and you can offer our repentance, and you can receive the end of this terrible plague. Now, we might have said, thank you, Araunah. Wow, I'm so glad you're on board with the team, and I appreciate your gift, and this is going to make the ministry possible, and God bless you for what you have done. And David simply said this, no. I will buy it from you for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor will I offer a burnt offering that cost me nothing. See, David had learned his lesson. David had learned that it was about the giving. And it was about not just the giving, but it was about owning the gift that was given. It was about providing from himself. It wasn't about just seeing that the job got done. It was about having, as they say, skin in the game. It was about having ownership of what was about to happen. It was about being responsible and being connected and being involved. It was about being the giver. That's why the gift of the Magi is such a powerful story, because it's not about the result and it's not about the gift itself. It's about the giving and it's about the heart of the givers. And it cost. And you know what? Because it cost, because each one of them knew what the other had given up, because it demonstrated the depth of the love and the depth of the relationship and the depth of the commitment and the priority that they put on each other. The gifts were the greatest gifts ever, even though the combs and the fob never functioned according to their purpose. When we come to the New Testament, we're told simply this: by grace we have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. It's not of our works. It's not of anything we can do, so that we can't ever stand up and boast. That was David's whole problem. He wanted to boast about his armies. He wanted to boast about his resources. It is a gift of God. And that gift had cost. We all know the verse. God loved the world so much that he gave. He gave what he loved most, his one and only son. He gave his beloved son, that whoever will believe in him will not perish, will have everlasting life. That's a gift that functions at both levels, which is just so amazing. It meets the need. It is the only gift, Christ's sacrifice for us, that meets the need of our sin. When we simply realize that we can't do it on our own, that we don't have goodness in us, that we screw it up every day, that we are sinners. And we see that Jesus gave us the gift of himself, and it cost. It cost when he left heaven. It cost when he became a baby in a manger. It cost when he grew up and experienced all of the struggles of a broken world that we experienced growing up. It cost when he went to Calvary for us. And you know what it continues to cost today? Because even today, the eternal, transcendent God of the universe retains that incarnate bodily form that we might know him, and someday he will come back for us, that we will live with him. He eternally put himself into body so that he could eternally be our brother, our savior, our friend. Jesus pays that cost every day. And now he asks us, what's important in our lives? What do we value? What are the priorities? What do we love? And how do we show it? How do we show it in the gifts that we give? And so we give. We give of our time, we give of our energy, and yes, we give of our funds. And you know what? It doesn't happen unless we give. And here's the thing. It costs. And it costs us. And it should cost us. And because it costs us, we have skin in the game. And because it costs us, it has meaning. Because it's not about the gift, it is about the giving, and it is about the giver. And when we give and it costs us, and we actually are part of the process, then the blessings are ours as well. We're going to give today, and I'm excited about that. And we're going to do some things with the gifts. I wrote them down here. Oh, I actually just dropped it. I brought it under so I wouldn't forget any and get them wrong. I think we're going to have some up on the slides here, but the Rickerts, I'm looking out here at Matt and Sarah Beth, they're trying to get to Cameroon to keep doing their work in the support of missions that happens throughout that part of Central Africa, and we need to provide their outfit and passage to get them over there, and that's going to be $10,000 of what we do today. Baptist Children's Home, serving more than 800 children who are in all kinds of special need and at risk, and they take them in and they provide them homes and they provide them food and shelter and love and the gospel. And we're going to provide $8,000 to put a computer system in to that program. Scioto Hills, a camp that so many of us are involved in and a lot of us have been to and gone to as kids and as adults, and that whole waterfront is being rebuilt to make it better and safer for the kids, a new lifeguard station and a new retaining wall, and we're going to provide $5,000 for that. The Hulsingers. There we are back here. I say we got Rickards on this side. They're heading off to Cameroon. We got Hulsingers on this side. They're going back to Nicaragua in the ministry center there. And, of course, wherever Larry and Beth are, who established that ministry center down here in front. You know, these are connections with us people. These are our family. We're going to see to it that Hulsingers go back with $5,000 to help support and keep that ministry going during this time of crisis as Nicaragua's in political turmoil until our missionaries can get back on the field and continue to do the work they've been doing there. Bill Glass right here in our own neighborhood. In February, we are the host church for the Bill Glass Weekend of Champions, reaching into the prisons for incarcerated people throughout this part of Central Ohio and taking them the gospel. And every year, we see hundreds of decisions for Christ inside the walls because our people are willing to go behind those walls with the gospel. And $5,000 is going to go to the logistical support and making all of it happen for the hundreds of people who will go out on that weekend of champions. Randy Burton with Freedom International, again, an O&P situation where he's trying to get down to the Dominican Republic to deal with primarily the children of the workers who go back and forth across the border between Haiti and DR and Haiti and DR. And they do this kind of migrant work camp labor, and their kids often are in need of teaching and support and encouragement, and Randy's going to be there, and that's where he is at this stage of his life, and he needs to get settled there, and we're going to help him with $5,000 to get him settled. The Institute of Biblical Leadership, who we have been supporting not only here in America but in their expanded work in Vietnam, are now going into Nairobi and Kenya and Central Africa. And so we're going to provide $3,800 to help them get established and the next ministries there. And of course, then right here, literally, not even across the street, but just down the hall, we have our MOPS program. Our local mothers who are here and who need to have that encouragement, we're going to start with about $3,000 of their operating costs and make sure that they are able to continue to minister to moms at a critical life point as they are stressing with what to do in caring for their children and how to raise them in the nurture and admonition of God. These are all great projects, and I am excited about every one of them. But here's the thing. I'm more excited because we are going to have some skin in the game, and you know it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost me one less gift for somebody in the household, or it's going to cost me one less dinner out, or it's going to cost me one less whatever, or two less whatever, or 10 less whatever. It's going to cost, and that's good, because I will not offer to my Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I understand David at that point. I need to be involved. The Holsingers need to know that I'm involved. The Rickards need to know that I'm involved. Randy Burton needs to know that I'm involved. The men behind the walls need to know that I'm involved. It costs. And so today, we give. And not just today, because the need goes on and the work goes on. When Paul came to the people in Corinth, a church which certainly had its share of struggles, he said, and regarding the collection for the saints, on the first Sunday of every week, you bring that collection so that the work of God goes forward. And that's what we do. And you know why we do that? Because I need to be a disciple of Christ today. And I need to be a disciple of Christ tomorrow. And I need to be a disciple of Christ the next day. And just like David, it's easy for me to start thinking, hey, things are good. Hey, look at what I've accomplished. Hey, I'm doing all right in the world, and forget that I'm dependent upon God. But when I every week come, and it costs, and I say, but Christ is first, and I say, my blessings are from Him, and I say, I'm willing to keep my skin in the game for not just today, but tomorrow, and not just 2018, but 2019, and for as long as, then you know what happens? Then churches like Washington Heights, which have been here for 60 years and have been sending out missionaries that whole time and have been doing works around the world, you know what happens? They're still here in 60 more. And they're still here doing mission work in 60 more. And they're still here meeting the lives and the needs of the people in our community in 60 more. Why? Because the people of God were disciplined about their discipleship and their giving, and every week as we came to worship, we shouldered the cost. We brought our offerings for the Lord. Folks, that's what we're doing. I get it. It's not always easy. I get it. There are other things you might like to do with that cash. But you know what? There is nothing better you can do with that cash. And more than that, just like Jim and Della, when we give up and shoulder the cost and show the love and provide the gift, then God knows that we love as much as he did. When he shouldered the cost and provided the gift that met the need of our salvation. So with that spirit of giving, that spirit of being givers, that spirit of trusting God for what he will do with our gifts, both across the street and around the world, we come this Christmas to present our gifts to Christ. So how do we do that? Little logistics. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some time of singing. Someone's going to come and sing for us. We're going to have a wonderful time just to listen. But as we're listening, we're going to stand, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to move to your right. Everybody move to their right. Otherwise, it's going to be a traffic jam. Move to your right and come out and down the aisle to your right, okay? And in front here, we have boxes. There are some little mangers for the children to put their boxes in from Sunday school where they've got their coins. And there are the large boxes that we can put our gifts in. If you say, I need to bring my gift, there's some envelopes in the back of the chair racks in front of you. And we just come forward and we just drop our gifts in. And you say, well, Dave, I'm not ready to give. That's fine. That's fine. Some people might say, Dave, I'm uncomfortable getting up and walking up. That's fine, too. You don't have to. We hope you will. Here's what we hope you'll do. Even if you say, I don't have a gift to bring, maybe you say this, just I couldn't this year. Okay, that's fine. We're not here about guilt. We're here about the opportunity to open our hearts to Christ. If you say, I can't, that's fine. I'd still ask you to come up with us. And as you come, would you do me a favor? If you can't drop in an envelope, that's fine. But will you at least offer a prayer for these missions that we're supporting and these people that are working? Will you let them know that if nothing else, they have the support and prayer of the people of Washington Heights, unified in everything we do? And as you come up and drop in your gift, when you're done, just make your way back down now around the group, the section you're in, and up the aisle and back into your pews, back into your seats. And when you're back seated again, we want to close together. And I hope you won't just drop your gift and walk out the door. I know there's a temptation to do that. Just let's hit the road real fast. I hope you'll drop your gifts and come back because we want to celebrate together as a family our experience of giving in a final time of worship. So drop your gifts and then go back to your seats and just wait for the minute it takes until we can all be together and worship and praise together. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And through the gifts that we give today, we are furthering that offer of the gospel down the hall, across the street, around the world with our gifts to Christ. Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us. Thank you so much for the provision that makes it possible for us to give and give generously. Thank you so much for the people and the opportunities we have to support as the gospel goes out. And thank you so much, Lord, for the spirit that causes us to give and to give as to you, our Lord, our Savior, to give you our gifts at this time when we celebrate your incarnation. So receive our gifts. Bless them, Lord. Use them powerfully. Multiply them in the hands of your servants and let us see how you bless in bringing people into your family. And we will thank you for all these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.